Good morning and welcome to worship here at the table at Central United Methodist Church. My name is Matt, and along with Linda, we serve as co-pastors here for this beautiful community of faith, and we're grateful to gather with you all this morning. We're going to move together into worship with a hymn which may be familiar for some of us and may be new for others. This comes to us from the tradition of the church. There's a wideness in God's mercy. So I invite you to stand as you're willing and able, and we'll move together in song.
For years, every morning, I drank from Blackwater Pond. It was flavored with oak leaves and also, no doubt, the feet of ducks. And always it assuaged me from the dry bowl of the very far past. What I want to say is that the past is the past, and the present is what your life is, and you are capable of choosing what that will be, darling citizen. So come to the pond, or the river of your imagination, or the harbor of your longing, and put your lips to the world, and live your life.
Our musicians are going to teach us a song that also may be familiar for many of us. This is a song that was first shared by the original Poor People's Campaign in Washington, D.C. in 1968. And it was shared by James Collier and Reverend Frederick Douglass Kirk, or Kirkpatrick. And this song is being brought back to life as the Poor People's Campaign finds renewal in this very moment. And so we invite you to stand as you're willing and able, and Colette and our musicians are going to help us learn this song so that we might join our voices together.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. So first I'll just go through the lyrics, and then I'll go through the melody that you guys can all sing along to. So the lyrics to this song are, everybody's got a right to live, everybody's got a right to live, and before this campaign fails, we'll all go down to jail, everybody's got a right to live. So, and then we'll go into kind of a call and response section, which I'll explain in a bit, but let's go through the melody of that first verse. All right, ready?
Everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to live. And before this campaign fails, we'll all go down to jail. Everybody's got a right to live.
Very good. Okay, and now the call and response section. So I'll call a verse and you will respond. Very good, Pastor Matt. So I'll say, everybody's got a right to live, and then you guys respond back, to live. Very good. All right, so everybody's got a right to live.
To live.
Everybody's got a right to dream.
To dream.
Everybody's got a right to love.
To love.
Everybody's got a right to learn.
To learn.
Everybody's got a right to live.
To live.
Everybody's got a right to. And then we'll go back into that first verse. Everybody's got a right to live. Okay. yeah.
Let's sing it.
Moving? Mine are. Woo, that was a lot of fun. Well, good morning. My name is Lisa Wagley, and I serve on Sarnit's hospitality team. And so for those of you who are joining us online, welcome. My favorite friend, although I have a lot of them, Denise Brick is your host today. And so Denise is going to take great care of you. Uh-oh, I cannot see my script now. Okay. A little secret, at the edge of your pew, there's a QR code. If you take your phone out and you open it up, you'll be able to follow along the service. For those of you online, Denise is going to drop that into the chat box for you. So we're really excited to share that, oh my gosh, we have our Rise Up Bread stand again here today. For those of you who are in person to purchase, our fellows, who I think are here in church, are our fellows here? Stand up. Stand up, stand up, stand up. Okay. These are our fellows, and they are super friendly and super helpful. So if you go outside and purchase bread, you're going to be able to purchase bread from them. And I see that not everybody stood up over there, but that's okay. There's some really cool people over there, too, that didn't stand up. So they're going to help you. The exciting part, though, is about this Rise Up Bread is next week there's going to be a new assortment of breads. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get your bread ahead of time, you can always go on our website. You'll be able to find our bread store pop-up, and then you can just pre-order it. Or even better yet, if you want to get a subscription to our bread Rise Up, tomorrow is the last day to sign up for July. We also have our produce and our flour subscriptions available. So I invite you to check that out on our website at thetableumc.org. Okay, that's a Sarnit deep breath, right? That's why he does it all the time. Okay, so so we're all part of an amazing community here, an amazing community of faith. And if you're new and you're just wondering who we might be and what this is all about, we invite you to find out more about us and our community of faith. And you can do something really cool by texting new to this phone number. And here's a secret. Matt and Linda get that text. So that's, to me, super, super cool. All right, if you're ready to connect with us, we want to know that you have an opportunity to learn more about us through a series called Growing in Faith. Our pastors, co-pastors here, lead that. And it's a great opportunity for you to learn more about what we're all about. So they have a couple of retreats coming up. They already had one, but not to worry. There's plenty more. In fact, August 11th through 12th, there's going to be one here in Sacramento at this church. And then for those of you who might be online or here today who are in Davis, at Davis UMC, there'll be another one. I believe that's August 25th and 26th. All right. If you want, you can also get online at thetableumc.org and learn more. Okay, Sarnit, your deep breaths, they really do make a big difference. Are y'all ready to sing? Okay, let's get on our feet, and we're going to sing our version of Worthy.
Those thoughts a million times. I can see the question that's behind your eyes. Oh, you're searching for your peace of mind. Now listen up to this truth. You are me and I am you. Every one of us is worthy. Baby, child, worthy. Every one of us is worthy.
Okay, I'm back again. So not only am I on Sarnit's hospitality team, but I also serve on the admin board. My title is sustainability. And so what does that mean? It means that we just focus on ways in which we can continue our ministry. So it's perfect that Denise Brick happens to be the host online today, because she really heads up the farm. But we're working together along with many, many other people in this congregation, and we're getting ready to move our farm. So we are looking for 2 to 3 more people to join our team who might have a background in construction, agriculture, irrigation, landscape, project management. So I know it's a kind of a tall order, but maybe, hopefully, we're hoping that someone here within our congregation or somebody online might be able to join our team and help us. And so if you're interested, you can visit me after church at the Next Steps table to learn about that and many other programs that we have here at church. So I hope to meet you, or you can chat with Denise. Okay, so now, to me, is the best part. If you're a kid, you can stand up and you can start tapping your toes, because our band is going to play some fun music for you guys to go to summer activities. This is where I want to be a kid and I want to dance, right? And so there's Jan. Thank you, Jan. And she's going to lead all of the kids out. So now, if you have a little small person, they get to go to the A-frame where we have loving professional care. But if you're in elementary school, guess what? You get to go to our summer children's activities, where you're going to hear stories, you're going to get to do some art, and then play on that incredibly new play structure that's out there. Awesome. Okay, I'm gonna see if I can move this so I can see all the words here. You know, it's always kind of scary when Linda texts you on Friday and says, "Hey, have you seen the names in the scripture?" And you might want to practice. So my husband was kind enough to let me practice out loud all the way to church. So if I mess up, it's okay. I know y'all love me. So our reading this morning comes from Numbers 27, 1 through 11, and I'll be sharing from the New Revised Standard Version, and we invite you to follow along. Then the daughters of Zelophehad came forward. Zelophehad was son of Hepher, son of Gilead, son of Machir, son of Manasseh, son of Joseph, a member of Manassite's clan. The name of his daughters were Mala, Noah, Hagla, Michal, and Tirzah. They stood before Moses, Eleazar, the priest, the leaders, and all the congregation at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and they said, "Our father died in the wilderness. He was not among the company of those who gathered themselves against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died for his own sin. He had no sons. Why should the name of our father be taken away from his clan because he had no son? Give us a possession among our father's brothers." Moses brought their case before the Lord, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "The daughters of Zelophehad are right in what they are saying. You shall indeed let them possess an inheritance among their father's brothers and pass the inheritance to their father on to them. You shall also say to the Israelites, if a man dies and has no son, then he shall pass his inheritance on to his daughter. If he has no daughter, then he shall give his inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, then he shall give his inheritance to his father's brothers. If his father has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to the nearest kinsman of his clan, and he shall possess it. It shall be for the Israelites a statute and ordinance, as the Lord commanded Moses."
I think you did marvelously. It's one thing when you can turn to your neighbor and say, can you help me learn your name? But there are these websites, but even they are hard for those of us who generations later come and are not familiar with the names of that culture, which were, you know, like Sarah and Emily to us. Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful. And I'm probably going to say the same names differently. So just so we know. Here we are in summer, and I am grateful for that too, and I'm grateful that I have sleeves on, at least for another day maybe, and that it's cooler. Summer is the time here, at least in Sacramento, it's the time of pops in the park and music circus, and Music Man is playing this week. If you haven't gotten tickets, there are still tickets there. Our own Omari is part of the cast. It's also the time when many of my favorite sports are on the field. So that would be soccer. And yes, in case you don't know, Women's World Cup is coming soon to Australia and New Zealand. And if you've never watched Women's World Cup soccer and seen Megan Rapinoe, this is your last chance because she's going to retire after this season. It's also, I learned, the Homeless World Cup of Soccer here in Sacramento this week. Yeah? Woo! First time in the U.S., and we get it. It's a tournament of street soccer, and it looks really exciting, and you can volunteer and go to their website for all of that. It's also, I know I've already lost all the sports ball people, right? You didn't know this about me. I'm kind of quiet about it. But CrossFit Games happen in August, and I'm a great fan of that. So you can watch that online. But also, there's this other pastime in the United States and other countries now, which is what sport? Summer sport? Baseball, right. He's like a huge fan. Huge, huge, huge. I like baseball, too. I have a favorite moment, actually, that happens, but you can only experience it, I think, if you're at an actual game. It's that moment when the pitcher winds up and gets ready to throw, right? And in that moment, the batter moves, too, if you watch, and the batter's getting ready. And there's this poet who describes it as that magic moment. And these are the poet's words. The magic is that everybody on the field also moves in sync with the pitcher. And you can see this on the field. They bend forward a little, everybody in the outfield and on base. They take a step maybe. They set their feet apart, right, to be braced for when the ball may come their way. They're ready for something to happen at the crack of the bat. It's a little dance, I would say, of shared expectation. It's not tension, really, but it's full of possibility in that moment. And it's not a big movement. It's just a little lean towards the batter. But seven people, without talking to each other, all do it at once. All over the field, kind of like stalks of grass on the prairie, all bending to the same wind. Well, maybe some of you are aware this year about the five rule changes that went into effect in baseball in 2023. They're supposed to make the game go faster and be less boring, and Matt says they do because he's tuned in all the time. So I have faith that they are working on these things. Making changes in the way a baseball game is played brought on a lot of controversy, a lot of derision. Because for years, every rule in Major League Baseball rules book has been like sacred. But with a boom, on opening day 2023, Major League Baseball entered a completely new era, like it or not. And some of us aren't even aware of it, right? And for others of us, it was an enormous cataclysmic shift. Well, Maybe you already see where I'm going with this. That story that Lisa read to us this morning is about Zelophehad and the fact that he had no sons. That's what it is on the surface, right? That was a real problem according to the rules. I don't know if any of you are old enough, I'm dating myself now, but remember that movie and stage show, Fiddler on the Roof, right? Tevye and Golda had daughters. It was a big problem. They had no sons. And likewise, Zelophehad only had daughters, Mala, Noah, Hagla, Milcah, and Tirzah. And this is the story of a rule change in their day that arrived with a similar cataclysmic boom. The rule was about who could rightfully inherit land. Doesn't that sound kind of boring? It's a huge deal. So Rabbi Sylvina Hemman helped me to understand this more deeply, and I'm going to be drawing on her work really a lot this morning. She published an article called The Daughters of Zelophehad, Power and Uniqueness. She speaks Spanish, so this was translated into English, and I found it really helpful. And she helped me understand all of the ins and outs. So here's part of what she writes. We might expect that women, heirs to Egyptian slavery, and then put under law that frequently favors men, might react by keeping silent, by accepting as natural the rule decreed for them to follow. We might expect women in those days to stay close to their tents, remain out of sight, and not go far from their families. So how and why did Zelophehad's daughters write a new chapter in history? Well, first of all, they dared to go out from their living space, from their tent, from their socially prescribed space, from the destiny that was imposed upon them by being women. And the text states, the daughters of Zelophehad came forward, and they stood before Moses, Eleazar, the priest, the chieftains, and the whole assembly at the entrance of the tent of meeting. So I want to help us imagine that scene. And I love it that Indiana Jones is back in the theaters this week, right? Because Indiana Jones way back when gave us all a sense of what the Ark looked like. If you went to the movie, the Israelite tribes have been making their way through the wilderness since leaving their enslavement in Egypt. We talked about that last week. They're on the plains of Moab with their destination ahead of them on the other side of the Jordan River. And they got to get organized now. They've been on this journey and they need to get their life together. And so what do? They take a census of all the males over the age of 20. And just as an aside, that's where the book of Numbers gets its name. Because if you read the whole book, which I don't really recommend, but you can do it, and it's full of numbers and counting, all right? All throughout the book of Numbers. As part of the list of the various clans, we read that Zelophehad had no sons, only daughters. That's what the record stated. And as the census was concluded, God instructs Moses that among these shall the land be apportioned as shares. As they're getting organized to go across the river, they're counting everyone, and they're saying, okay, we're going to divide the land among these, the men over 20. Among these is who it refers to. So we can conclude that Zelophehad's daughters were not counted in the census and also were not to receive any land or get any inheritance whatsoever. The Israelite camp is formed of tribes, and every tribe has a determined place in the assembly with the tabernacle in the middle. So that's where these women have come out to. And in the center stands the main authority figures. All of them are men. Moses, the priest, the chieftains, imposing as this structure may have been. Just imagine it. Some people, even to this day, don't want to step up on this altar. Okay, so it's huge. They decide, we're going to claim our rights, the ones we believe we have. So together, I imagine them holding hands, but I don't know how you see them. They go out of their tents without being called. So they weren't summoned, and that's an important part of the story as well. And they go to the place where only high-ranking men gather, to the place where the tablets were brought down from Mount Sinai by Moses. We call those the Ten Commandments, right? And they were laid to rest in the ark, to the place of holiness and authority that travels with the people of Israel wherever they go, to a place where women had zero authority. Wow. They come forward, they stand there, and these men must have been overwhelmed. There's an image of it. That was drawn in 1865. It's in the Metropolitan Museum of Art, if you're ever there. It's from an illustrated Bible of the time. The men must have been overwhelmed. Like, if you can see Moses in the background, he has his hand like that. It cracks me up. When they saw this unprecedented family of women. And then the women speak with determination. And they say, "Our father died in the wilderness. He was not one of the faction, Korah's faction, which banded together against God, but died for his own sin, and he has left no sons. Let not our father's name be lost to his clan just because he had no son. Give us a holding among our father's kinsmen." So it's really clear by reading that. We may not get it, but those who heard them say that, it's really clear that the women know their law and their history. Just even the way I said, watch women's soccer, it's Megan Rapinoe's last season, that went over tons of people's heads, right? Because you don't follow any of that. But I follow it. These women follow the law, is what I'm trying to get across to you. And they use the fact that their dad was not involved in Karachi's rebellion as evidence to support their claim to land. In other words, their father was on the good side, not going against God. And they know that the continuity of family name depends fully on inheriting land. And they realize that the current law will not allow them to inherit because it does not take into account the unusual circumstances of man without sons. But they recognize that. An omission in God's law. Okay, to say God has omitted something takes a lot of courage. But because they consider God's law to be just, or at least God's law aims to be just, they show no hesitation in pointing out the unfair nature of the present situation with complete confidence. What's more, they support their claim with compelling arguments. So how does Moses react? Moses takes their case to God. And according to Rabbi Heman, this is what she writes. Moses discloses his inability to assess the claims of these sisters. He's a little befuddled, huh? He takes the case to God, who responds by unequivocally supporting the sisters' demand and even by promulgating a new and permanent law to secure inheritance for any daughters in such circumstances. Thus, the sisters' claim leads to the law of inheritance being changed forever. I just kind of wonder what would have happened if the women of the Southern Baptist Convention could have had their claims directly taken to God. I'm just going to leave that there. The achievement of Zelophehad's daughters was a landmark decision in women's rights regarding the inheritance of land from those days all the way until now. They want a right for themselves and for other women in Israel, the right to inherit. And it was secondary. They would only inherit if there was no son. So I get that that's secondary, but it was also a huge step forward. The scriptural scholarship of the daughters is really impressive for me, maybe for you too. And there's even a little bit more that's worthy of our attention. The story of these five women offers a compelling lesson for all of those, all persons who believe their future is fixed. or that God has abandoned you. It encourages us to think differently. And it provides a message of hope for all of those who are faced with seemingly insurmountable obstacles. Perhaps the most important legacy of Zelophehad's daughters is their call to us to take hold of life with our own hands, to move from the place that others prescribe for us, or that we have decided actually we're going to keep because we feel afraid or immobilized or just plain stuck. And then to walk even to the most holy center places of power, to where many fear to tread. It's why we protest on the steps of the Supreme Court, right? Rabbi Chimon again. When we believe in our capacity to shape our history to the point of being able to change even a law that came from the revelation at Sinai, God speaking to Moses, then we pay a tribute to Zelophehad's daughters. So who is speaking up now that is demanding something that goes against the way things have always been done? Think about that. Or who is speaking up against even our personal sense of what is right and what is wrong? Think about that. There's so many, I decided not to list them. I'm trusting all of y'all's hearts and brains. By the way, I can't even believe, because it's not in the text, that no one protested when Moses delivered God's new rule. I mean, really? Because I can hear it. Something like, those women are getting special treatment. Those women, that's reverse discrimination. Mm-mm. It's a slippery slope, Moses. If you let this happen, then you know. Just listen to the opinions of some on our Supreme Court right now. To be clear, Mala, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah did not win those equal rights, like I said, but they won a step in the right direction. And in the book of Numbers, they are named, I said this last week, they are named in the census. And their speech is recorded in Scripture. When everyone ultimately crossed over the Jordan River, finally, they would remain forever, though, on the far edge, outsiders in some way. But they won this right. And these sisters filed one of the earliest lawsuits on record. In fact, the case is one of the oldest still cited as an authority. As recently as 1924, the American Bar Association journal cites Numbers 27. The American Bar Association, describing Mala, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah's win as an early declaratory judgment in which the property rights of women are clearly set forth. So while the rest of the group mobilized itself through that census I was telling you about to determine critical mass for battles on the other side of the Jordan, those five sisters saw a battle to fight where they stood, within their own small tribe and community. It would have been much less risky for them to approach Moses in private and plead with him to work out some special deal for them. And a lot of people would be tempted to do that, especially Enneagram 9s. You're really good at strategically talking to people and moving us forward. But in this case, I believe they understood that their well-being was connected to the well-being of the whole community. So they came forward, not in private, but in public for everyone to see. So everyone knew who they were. They're a witness and an inspiration to the rest of us. Why should our father's name be lost, they ask. And Moses did not respond with, because them's the rules. He also didn't say, "We've always done it this way, woman, sit down." He listened. He listened. And then he went to God in prayer. And God said, "They are right." So thinking back to that favorite moment in a baseball game, that magic moment, you know, that I talked about when everybody on the field moves in sync with the pitcher, isn't it possible that that is what happens with God too? That every moment in which God prepares to pitch some grace our way, the forces and the energy and the presences in all the world around us lean in, ready, expectant for something new to happen. Because every moment is an opportunity for God's grace to arrive. Not just to individuals, but to whole societies. Even difficult moments become opportunities for us. And sometimes we swing and we miss. Right? And thankfully, God winds up to pitch us some grace again. Amen. Amen.
Mala and Noah and Hogla and Micah and Tirzah, just as those women stepped forward to claim their own worthiness, there was this other group of folks that were kind of mostly pushed to the side in their day as well that became Jesus's followers. They were simple folks. They were fished for a living. They were like the bottom of the social status hierarchy. And they had a tax collector as well, somebody that nobody liked. And Jesus gathered those unexpected folks together to do something that there were a lot of rules about, like who you sit next to at a high school cafeteria. Everybody knows where you're supposed to sit. And Jesus called those folks together and they did things like break those rules. And they did it as this way to both like spiritually connect to God individually as a way of taking God's power and beauty and love and healing into their own bodies. And also as a political statement to say, you say these people have to eat by these people, but God has a different way. God's table is always opening up. And so every week in the church, we gather to do that same thing. And it can feel really mundane, kind of like reading the American Bar Association's law. And it can be phenomenally revolutionary. And so this is an opportunity for you to discern whether this might be a table that you're called to and a way that you might practice expressing how I am you and you are me, as we sang, every one of us is worthy, each and every person is welcome to this table. And so first we recognize, we pause in prayer kind of as Moses paused in prayer to just take stock of where we are. And we do that as a church, and collectively we acknowledge that we fall short. We can put flags out that say all means all and Black Lives Matter, but we struggle to live that out. And we trust that God will keep throwing grace our way. And the church calls that a prayer of confession. And so I invite you to stand in body or spirit and to join us together with one voice in what the church calls a prayer of confession. So let us be in a spirit of prayer.
God of grace, we forget that the future is not fixed and stay stuck in old ways which lead to death. Forgive us, we pray.
Help us find courage to come forth,
on behalf of ourselves and others to proclaim your love and justice for all. So friends, the God of every moment and all time, the God who loves all of creation, looks upon you and everyone around you, everything around you, and sees that you are worthy, beloved, forgiven, loved, and healed. So may that truth be yours this moment and all the days of our lives. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And let us join now in the call and response, which has become the way of the church throughout those generations, to recognize and celebrate the worthiness and the presence of Christ within our neighbor. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Amen. Us into prayer with the words that Jesus shared so long ago with his disciples that have been adapted and changed and new life breathed into them. It was named the Lord's Prayer by the church, and this is a version that's a paraphrase from the New Zealand prayer book. Let us pray. Eternal Spirit, earth maker, pain bearer, life giver, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echoes through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the earth. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever.
Amen. Holy Spirit, pour your gifts and your love upon this bread and this cup. Make this your body and your love, and make us, through the sharing of this feast, your hope alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome at the table of God's love, and when we say all, we mean everyone. We encourage all of our friends online who are at home or listening to gather close to them what they are going to use for their bread and their juice. We want folks here in this room to know that we will have two stations here at the front, two areas, and in the back. We trust that people will come in their time when God speaks to you and you feel that nudge to come forward. In other words, nobody's going to walk down the aisle and tell you when it's your turn. Okay? Yeah, we'll be all right. There are places to pray all around our sanctuary. There's candles to be lit, either standing or kneeling, and it's always all right to just stay exactly where you are. The encouragement is to breathe and to be present, fully present to yourself and God. We know that some of us aren't able to eat gluten, and so on the plate you will see bread, but also crackers that have no gluten in them, and in our cup there is always grape juice. We know that for some, this will be the first time you try something like this. For many of us, it's a life practice. Most of us are somewhere in between. All of that is in God's love and grace, and there's nothing you can do to make a mistake or mess this up. We watch over one another in love.
Friends, this is the bread of life and the body of Christ broken for you, and the cup of God's love and healing and forgiveness poured out for all.
Thank you.
encourage those praying with candles to stay for as long as you desire, loving God for the depth and the mystery of your hope revealed in the act of breaking bread. We give you thanks. May your peace make us one and call us to rise in this moment to join with your healing and hope in each and every place in which we move. We offer this in the name of Jesus Christ, in whom we place our hope. Amen. We want to encourage you to wonder about what your next steps might be. God called those women long ago to rise, to stand up, and we wonder what that might look like in your own life. We have so many different ways that we encourage you to take next steps here at the table, to connect with others, to get to know others, to join with us in being a part of healing in the world. Many of those happen down at the farm, and you're welcome after we go out from worship, for those of us in person at least, to connect with these amazing young students who are fellows with us this summer. The others that were over on the side that didn't stand up, they're actually apprentices, and not all of us know the right language here, but the fellows are in their first year, and the apprentices have been through this, and so they have a wisdom and an expertise, and actually so do the fellows. They all have a wisdom and expertise as they're learning and wondering about sustainability and justice making in the world together. They'll be outside. We have bread that comes to us. Actually, this morning, Ezekwe got in his car in San Francisco. He was all bundled up, and he arrived here with this amazing bread to share. He realized that Sacramento is hotter, even though this feels cool for us. And so the bread that's outside today, we have those loaves. If you'd like to purchase one of those from Rise Up, you can. There are ways to sign up also for produce and for flowers as well, and you pick those up down at the farm. And then, as Lisa named, tomorrow will end the subscriptions for bread for the next couple weeks. But there's some amazing, our daughter was really excited about the ube loaf that is on there. You can learn about some of the different loaves of bread that are on our website and order whichever of those you would like, or gift them to the South Sacramento Interfaith Partnership Food Closet as well. So there's a young person in our midst who's ready to like rise up with those women of old, because he's really aware that there's still bread underneath these green cloths in the front. And what he's aware of is that that bread tastes really good. And so he's rising up with parents around trying to figure out, is that an okay rule or should I break that rule? And I'll just leave that question with you all. I invite you to stand as you're willing and able. And our musicians are gonna help us to go out in song with a song that we learned for the first time last week, and Colette and others are gonna take us from here.
Hello everyone. So if you were here last week, this song will be familiar to you. This is We Are On This Earth to Love. And so for everyone with higher voices, I will be doing the highest part. So I'll sing it through a few times. Feel free to join in when you feel comfortable. We are on this earth to love. We are on this earth to love. We are on this earth to love. We are on this earth to love.
Very good. So, and I sing more in the middle range, so if your voice is kind of like mine, this is the alto part.
We are on this earth to love. We are on this earth to love. We are on this earth to love. We are on this earth to love.
All right, and if you want something a little bit lower than that, this one is for you. Here we go. Ready? 2, 3, and...
We are on this earth to love.
And...
We are on this earth to love. We are on this earth to love.
One more time, by yourselves.
We are on this earth.
Fantastic. Great job.
We are on this earth to love.
makes me cry, really. Because we have all these rules around us, right? We are so tamped down in so many ways, and some of them are really good rules to keep us safe, and some of them are just rules to keep us apart, right? So we know two new phrases now, I hope. If you didn't learn anything today, it's everybody's got a right to live, and we are on this earth to love. So as we go forth, knowing deep down inside, I hope, your worthiness, knowing deep down inside that you have a place, right? Go forth ready to stand up, to speak out, and to know that God is always pitching us grace. Amen.